Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tippy Talk, TNT in the Night, where we talk about overcoming difficult situations or just handling it better. We go through our daily adventures where we ask the question, what have you done today? What stands out today? And what is the most important thing that happened today? How have you overcome today? And what was your challenge of the day? We march into the other side of midnight, walking in the retrospect, tracking our behavior, not to judge ourselves or feel bad about it, but to find ways to improve our tomorrow. Presented to you by the E Factor, we talk to people who were faced with major challenges and find their struggles and triumphs and lessons that they were blessed with due to the way they rose to the call of the other side, the way they faced situations that they never thought they would have to face. Because what you will find when the unexpected hits you in the face is that there are resources deep within you that begin to bubble to the surface and make themselves available to you and invite you to help yourself in situations that you never saw before.
Today we are going to be listening to the second segment of the interview that we began listening to yesterday.
And we're back here on Tippy Talk with me, Tippy Feldenstein, and my guest, James Lyons, who is talking about a fascinating journey that he's had in his childhood that's made him a really amazing, exceptional kind of person. So, James, the fear of being hurt, that makes a lot of sense because you knew that if you get to the point where you can't move, you will be defenseless for a certain amount of time and they can do anything they want. And that should be that could have been really, really scary. So finally, your parents decide that you're psychosomatic and they take you to somebody to make you unpsychosomatic. So what happens when you show up over there?
Well, the man that I went to see was, he was a nice guy. He was really intellectual. He had sort of like a story basis to things. He basically told me, okay, well, we're going to talk through these issues and pray, and he believed that. That once I was able to, get to the point of what had happened to me, whatever it made me so upset that my muscles were doing that, it was the idea that if I could express that verbally, then my problems would go away.
Right. So whatever it was that make us psychosomatic, if you figure it out, then you're not going to be psychosomatic anymore, and then you wouldn't have any of that issues anymore. That was basically the idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, so, it's so 80s because everything was so psychosomatic. Yeah.
Right. And I didn't know that until I got older. To me, it was just like, okay. I mean, part of me thought that, oh, these people are absolutely nuts.
As a kid, what do you know?
Exactly. But then part of me was like, okay, I'll do anything. You tell me to walk on my head, I will do anything to make this stop.
Right.
And, so he talked a lot about psychology and personality theory. He got me to sort of understand who I am as a person. What inspires me, what inspires other people, how to sort of deal with other people and the differences of who they are. Mm-hmm. My dad is a very sort of manly man and he's a tough guy, and a lot of the people in my family were tough guys, and just sort of learning how to stand up to that, and recognizing that, that sort of tough guy was in me as well, and you know, and learning the balance between the two. So you know, there's a great you know, the therapist Jung talked about archetypes, and one archetype they taught me about was you know, was the shadow, and how if you have to embrace your shadow but not be controlled by it. So you know, there was a lot of good things from it, and the best thing that happened though is he got me thinking that, okay, I'm out here on this island by myself, but I can fix myself. I can make all of these issues go away by myself. I can, you know, there's a lifeboat out here somewhere. There's a tree on the island, and if I can figure out how to cut down this tree, cut it up into planks and build a boat with it, then I can get the life that I was supposed to have back. Because that's a lot of time what I felt. I felt like, oh my gosh, I'm losing time. I know all of these things are happening to me and they're affecting me in negative ways. I'm not the strong person that I want to be. I'm not, you know, as happy as I want to be. I'm not as, you know, whatever I wanted to be at that
time. Yeah, and you're spending full-time job just hiding the way that your muscles work. That's got to be excruciating, especially surrounded by people that don't even acknowledge it as anything. So after all those years, you go to therapist, and that changed everything, right? Because it made you start thinking of it as something that could be dealt with in a safe way.
Yeah. And the therapist also kind of put a separation between me and my family, between me and my parents, and said, there is what people think, and then there's truth. And, you know, what you need to discover is truth. You don't need, you know, and so if the truth was that some event had happened to me when I was a child that I had repressed and that had turned into a psychosomatic illness, then I had to discover that, and then I had to deal with that. And the truth, you know, they say the truth will set you free. Well, that's exactly what I became to believe. And so my whole way of seeing the world became very objective. It was, you know, I started to kind of look at life a little bit like a scientist. As, you know, I will look at things factually and try and find the truth in things, because that's going to be my way out.
Yeah, and that's probably what gave you the strength and the ability, because of your family, to put yourself out there and to become very vulnerable and be able to tell the world, hey, you know what, this is what I have, and this is the way it is. And not only is it something that the world needs to know, because there may be other kids with other families who may not be as supportive as your family that are suffering even more, but by seeing this, their family might see things differently. And I'm pretty sure that just by putting yourself out there, you've already touched so many lives. And
I put a video online, and you know, it was, I entitled it, what did I entitle it? It's not Myotonia Congenita, it's not all about the goats. And it's not just about the goats. And, you know, it's gotten 100,000 views, and there's tons of people that have lived all over the world that have written me and said, oh my gosh, this is the first time I've ever seen anything like this. You know, it's the first time I've ever seen anybody who moves like me. I've felt completely alone in life. Thank you so much for putting this on there. And, you know, I can't tell you that every single one of those I read just, you know, it just, I feel so lucky to have had that opportunity to be able to help somebody else like that, because it's such a, it's such a blessing for me to be able to do that. You know, to be able to feel like my life means that much, that I've been able to help those people.
Yes, and it only does because of who you are. And so you've taken situation that wasn't so much fun and turned blessing. And do you see yourself as being blessed now? What is the outcome of everything that you've been through, which is so much more than we discussed, and obviously we cannot discuss it, and that's why I want people to go read that article. But now when you look at yourself, how do you see yourself in relation to what happened and what emerged after that?
Well, the whole science issue of, you know, looking at the world objectively and trying to find truth, the other way that I coped with it was, you know, I made up my own world for myself. So, you know, creativity has become a huge part of my life. I went to art school, and then I went to film school for my MFA, and you know, took some time, and now I'm a writer. I write stories, and I have you know, projects that I have going on as far as stories. I have a couple kids' books.
And you're the creator of a website called Weave My Tale, which I really wanted people to know about, because that in itself is a very creative way of writing and inviting other people to write with you.
All of those two things combined are my life just keeps getting better and better. I keep getting stronger and stronger. But the thing that I really got out of all of this was courage. I feel like I have boldness, that I'm brave. I feel like
you are brave. You are. It's not just that you feel.
I believe it. I have confidence in myself that when things go wrong, that I can find a different way to make it right. And, you know, if I have to, I can stand up for what's right. That's basically the thing I'm most proud of. When I was 14, Muscular Dystrophy Association came to my school and talked about muscular dystrophy, which there's people who have myotonia like I have that also have dystrophy. So their muscles waste away, where mine don't waste away. I just have the stiffness. And when they spoke to us about that, it was like a light went off in my head. I said, oh, my gosh, this is what I have. And I went home and I told my mom, and she said, oh, you're crazy. You know, she said, that's nuts. And, you know, I guess after seeing the therapist and, you know, just dealing with this for so long, I stood up to her and I said, no, I said, I'm not wrong. And
wow. Something
needs to be done about this. And she didn't, you know, she kind of ignored me for a while, and then she eventually looked into it and took me to a back doctor, who then recommended me to a neurologist. And, you know, we found out that that me and my three sisters all have a muscle disease, whereas before my entire family was confused and you know, and sort of being beaten up by this issue that, you know, the therapist couldn't fix, and it just didn't make any sense to anybody. And because of that action I made, the entire trajectory of my family changed.
So I wanted to ask you about your sisters. You said three of your sisters have it. How many sisters do you have?
I have three sisters.
So all your sisters have it. And
right.
How did they deal with it? Did they have it to the extent that you do, or did they go through a different experience?
They went through a different experience, because I don't know where my parents were getting the information from. Sometimes I wish I could go back and, you know, and bring somebody from the present day to kind of say, well, you know, I know that these people are telling you this, but my parents became convinced that my sisters were copying me. So they had two really sort of bizarre theories going on. The one was that I have a psychosomatic illness, and then for my sisters, they were copying me. So
crazy. Oh, my God. But I can definitely see that, being I graduated college in the 80s, a major, I can definitely see where that came from.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess those were the hot topics of the day. You know, if they had Twitter back then, you know, everybody would be all about hashtag psychosomatic.
Yes.
You know, hashtag copying your siblings.
Yes. Well, they were younger than you, so obviously they had to be copying you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So their experience was different, but also you said about your imagination. So because you had to spend so much time in your imagination, it's kind of like muscles. When you use it, it becomes stronger. And so if you use your imagination a lot, then your imagination became one of the very strong muscles that you have now as a tool.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yeah, it's really neat when you don't even realize what you're preparing yourself for. And then all of a sudden, one day you say, wow, I have all these skills that I've built without even wanting to. Because we're being led. It's a universal guidance. It's not something that you're always conscious with. So how is that muscular issue affecting you now? Is it worse? Is it better? Does it change? Does it become more progressive? Do they have any medication for it? Those kind of things.
They do have medication for it that I've never taken because there's a lot of side effects, and I've just never been really, you know, really about doing that. There's something about just sort of being true to who I am, and this was this was what I was given. I was given this life. And I'm going to accept it and love it, you know, and love myself as I am and not feel like I have to, you know, hide again, not feel like I have to fix who I am.
The thing about the medication really, to me, is the side effects, which are probably even worse than what you have to begin with.
Yep. Yeah, it's really bad stomach issues and dizziness. And there's a lot of people online who have gone on it, and then they, for some reason or another, I think they quit selling it or something in, you know, in other countries, and now they don't have it, and they're desperate for it. All they do is they talk online about, oh, I got to get this medication again, you know. And to me, it's a solution, but it's not the best solution.
Well, it sounds like addicts. I have to get it.
It does. It absolutely does. I'm like, no, I don't want that stuff, you know. It's like my grandpa used to tell me when I told him to drink bottled water. He said, I drink tap water. And he said, and when they run out of bottled water, he said, I'm going to be better off than you are because I've toughened myself up to the tap water.
Exactly. I think your journey was amazing. I don't even think you touched the surface right now by telling us about it. But tell us what the last piece is, the culmination of all of my efforts, as you put it.
The culmination of all my efforts is the muscle disease made me very anxious. And I learned when I was 23, I finally was able to quit hiding it.
How old were you when you were diagnosed?
I was diagnosed at 14.
Oh, got it. Correctly. I mean, not as a psychosomatic.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
At 14. The thing that I learned from that experience is that I have to relax. Because you asked me how my muscle disease is doing now. And as soon as I learned to relax, my muscle disease got better. So I wasn't as stiff. I quit falling over because I wasn't rushing around. And I learned that I need to take my time with things and sort of stop and enjoy life.
Do you have a clue on how something like yoga would affect you?
Yeah, I've done some yoga. I've done some Tai Chi. Tai Chi is really good for me because the problem with the muscle disease is that if you work out too hard, it actually kind of, I don't know the science behind it, but it actually does more damage to your body. I don't get the benefits of heavy workouts like other people do.
Actually, you know, I've read a lot about heavy workouts that people that don't have, that have the muscles work correctly, but heavy workouts can work against you. It's not necessarily going to be heavy workouts that go way over your ability. So that makes sense what you're saying, especially for you, that your muscles are more sensitive than most people and don't function exactly like they do. So it would make sense that heavy workouts not going to be your thing, but mild, like you said, Tai Chi or a little bit of yoga, that might help you to relax, so it might ease the condition a little bit. Is that it?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, and breathing and just not, you know, and learning how to, what's important to focus on, you know, choosing my battles, all of those sort of things I've been taught and learned. And, you know, what I got from the experience with the therapist when I was younger, when I did have the disease, and this is probably, if I could say, what is the best thing about you? I like being able to be objective and sort of scientific in my thinking. I really like being creative. But the best thing about me is I believed that I could improve myself. I could just continually improve myself. Like, I can make myself great at everything. And I don't mean great as far as what the world thinks, but great from a health perspective. I could become relaxed to a point where I'm almost like, you know, like a Zen master. I can become confident, you know, to the level of an athlete. I can harness my creativity and develop my storytelling techniques, so I can touch people's lives and change people's lives and inspire and entertain them at the same time. So what that did for me is it launched me into this lifetime search from the age of 10 into, I'm going to beat this. I'm not only going to become healthy, I'm going to become more than healthy. I'm going to become amazingly healthy. I'm going to, whatever I have to do from an objective standpoint to make myself better, I'm going to do it. And eventually I'm going to you know, be able to use this to have positive effects on other people's lives and get my life back. So I don't feel like my life was a waste. Like, you know, God should have just created somebody else, you know. And so that's always sort of driven me. And that's really the thing that I like most about myself it just seems like continually pushing and striving for better just keeps on paying off blessings. And it seems like every few months or so I blow through another barrier, you know, just another fear, I discovered new talents that I didn't know I had. 10 years ago, I could barely write. It was so debilitating. I was so, you know, sort of emotionally paralyzed by, you know, by exposing myself, exposing my thoughts to other people, because I had lived my entire life in fear and in hiding and not wanting the people to know my weaknesses. But slowly I just took it one small step at a time and just figured out, okay, how do I get to that next step? And I thought about it as almost as like a therapist. How do I get myself to overcome this next issue? So I would almost put myself into situations and, you know, create situations for myself with the entire emphasis of how good can I get for myself, you know. And it's not about impressing other people. It's almost like I'm playing a game with myself. How far can I get, you know? And you know, that's where my drive comes from. Is I want to see where the day I take my last breath, I want to be so happy about everything that has been given to me, so happy that God decided that I was one of the souls that got to be alive, and you know, and even happy that you know, and even be at a point where I'm okay with death, You know, it's just that's sort of what that did to me. And
that's
no way
very interesting that you would say that, because just yesterday I did a show on death and life and what it really is and why people spend their life being afraid of death, which is really nothing that nobody ever escapes. Ultimately, we're all going to be there. So that's very interesting that you said that. But you're right. So you did do all that, and you are living happily. And you also said that you have found the love of your life, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And you have basically lived your life the way on your terms, not on anybody else's terms. You didn't let anybody else define you. You didn't let anybody else tell you how you're going to live your life. And I love that you write, because expressing all those things that you want to express is really, it's amazing. Not only that you were afraid to, but also that you know how. Because if you repress something for a long time and you're afraid to show your feelings, it's a big challenge to just do it, because you don't use it, so you lose it. So that's amazing in itself.
And I found the most wonderful woman in the world who is, she is, you know, she's the perfect person for me, and I'm amazingly in love with her, and she just makes me, she has made my growth in a lot of areas. You know, and especially in the area of learning how to love myself, so important and happens so fast. I'm an efficiency junkie. I think part of it is because of the muscle disease, and it takes me, you know, I got to use a lot of energy to do something. So if I do something, I want it to be worth it. But you know. Jesus, you know, it's like, don't call me over there unless you got a plan figured out. But, you know, she has sped up this process for me, and I feel lucky. I know that there's a lot of people that don't find the right person in life, and I'm like, why did I get to find the right person in life?
Yeah, that makes sense, and I'm really happy that you're here right now, and I know that we're going to hear a lot of great things that you're doing, and I know that With My Tale is going to be a huge success, because it's one of those things that people really love once they figure out what it is that they love, that they're doing. It's just a matter of understanding, I think. So we're coming to the end, and we're running out of time. So what I would like you to tell us is, what would be the last words? What would you like to tell people who are listening to you?
I think I would like to tell people who are listening to me is, love yourself. Look at yourself and every single thing about yourself that you hate. Sit down and write up a plan on how you're going to love it. And how, instead of running from it, you're going to make it a strength. You're going to turn the lemons into lemonade. And that's such a, you know, I used to think that's such a cheesy line, but it's true. That is what life is about. And every single time I turn the lemons into lemonade, I get tingles up and down my body. Just talking about it right now, that's happening. I get tingles up and down my body just thinking about it. And every single time.
That's awesome.
Every single time one of those things happen to me and I break through another barrier, it is so rewarding. It's rewarding any level of torture, or I know there's people who go through things that are so much more difficult than what I went through. And, you know, it is the most rewarding thing in the world.
Wonderful. And I couldn't possibly finish it in any better way than that. That's awesome. And we will definitely follow up and talk about With My Tale and see how things are going for you and how you're taking new challenges on and learning every day. I want to really thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. I think it's a very important story that does need to be told. And I'm very blessed that you came and told it by us first. I'm definitely proud of that. So once again, have a wonderful weekend, everybody, and Thank you for joining us.
We have come to the end of Tippy Talk tonight on the E Factor Show. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and you are listening to Black Talk Radio. E Factor stands for the energy factor. It is the factor that we adjust in order to take on the daily challenges and mold our life into the energy of our desires. My book, Planning Power, is available on Amazon. All you have to do is go to Amazon.com and type in Planning Power, and my book should pop up either first or second in line. Or you can go to the website and find out more about it, which is lifemodification.net. That's .net, not .com. You can also read the first chapter and see if you wish to read more. And most important, we invite you, the listener, to participate. You can call into the E-Factor Live on Mondays at 8:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 11:30 Eastern Time, and give us your opinion, your question, your idea, or your challenge of the day. We also invite you to follow us. All you have to do is click on that follow button right there on top, and you'll receive updates and notices every time we broadcast. We will be broadcasting randomly throughout the week, but always here live on Monday. Until we meet again, have a magical journey and let your talent be your potion.